Grab your Bibles. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, walking through this letter that was written to the scattered church. And even though we are gathering, we still scatter, right? I mean, it's kind of the church gathers to worship and scatters to make much of Jesus. And so I think there's a lot of really good truth in here for us to learn and to think about. And so if you want to grab your Bibles and turn there, also, if you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little piece of paper here, and we'll walk through these things together and see these truths here that hopefully will grip our hearts. And man, I think there's a lot in here today for us. Just kind of an outline, though, to give you. I haven't been able to give you really a good outline because I'm terrible at preaching to an empty room. Really, in the first chapter here, okay, the first chapter of 1 Peter, really the first 12 verses, Peter is telling the people, hey, this is what God has done in saving you, right? He's encouraging these scattered believers throughout Asia Minor and telling them, hey, don't forget what God has done. God loves you. He has done all these things to save you. He loves you. He hasn't forgotten about you, even though you're on the backside of nowhere. He has gathered you to himself. These are things into which angels long to look. The prophets told us about. This is all that God has done to save you. And then, really, in verse 13, which Bradley did such a great job with last week, verses 13 through chapter 2, verse 3, which is what we're going to do today, is these are the right responses to that great salvation. Okay, so he says the first half of the chapter, this is what God has done to save you, and then the rest of the chapter, he's saying, this is how we respond as the people of God. This is how we should respond to this great salvation that God has given us. And so Bradley talked about this last week. Verse 13, there's five commands here, okay, that he's going to give them. This is how you ought to live in light of the gospel. The first one he says is to set your hope on God's grace in verse 13. He says, that's a command, set your hope in God's grace. The second command is in verse 16. He says, to be holy. Third command is in verse 17. He says, to fear God. And then we're going to get the last two commands here today, okay, which are going to be to love one another and to long for pure spiritual milk. So if you'd like to go ahead and fill in blanks, you can jump ahead. But please don't let me get it all to you here. But these are the right responses to this gospel, this good news that God has sent his son for us and he has adopted us into his family and forgiven us of our sins and given us an inheritance, right? These are the right responses to this. Here's the dangerous thing, okay? Everybody likes a list, right? Everybody likes a list to keep. And so the dangerous thing here would be that you start thinking this is a list of things to keep so that God will love you. And that's not correct. That's not what it's saying here. He's saying God loves you. He loves you. He sent Jesus for you, and he has brought you to himself. And since he's done that, here's how we can live in light of that. So this is not a way to make God happy with you. This isn't a way to stay in God's good graces. That's not it at all. Any of that kind of legalistic, making a list and keeping it idea, that when we start thinking that way, we subtly remove the good news of the gospel, okay? And so we want to see these calls to obedience not as a way to keep God happy with me, but just to say, God loves me. And this is the right way for me to respond to the love that he has for me. I want to set my hope in his grace. I want to fear God. I want to be holy. I want to love my neighbor. And I want to long for pure spiritual milk. Okay? Daniel Doriani says this, and we'll read the passage together. It says, we can obey the gospel because the word of God is understandable and authoritative. And we should believe the gospel because it summons a response. And that response is obedience. Right? We want to be obedient because God knows what's best for us. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 through 25. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, here's the command. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that I preach to you. Okay, a few things here when we think about loving one another. First off, he says this, the gospel, it purifies our heart and it teaches us to love. So he says in the first few words there, having purified your souls. I don't do this very often, only when I think it's helpful, okay? But this Greek word here, this having purified, is in the perfect tense, which means nothing to most people. But the perfect tense in the Greek is an action that's been completed in the past, which the effect of which continues on into the future, okay? It's something that happened, and it's something that keeps happening. Okay, so it happened here, but the effect of this continues on forever. And so Peter says to them, you're having your souls purified by the truth. That happened when we trusted Jesus, right? Our souls are purified by the truth. And our souls are continuing to be purified by the truth as we follow him. That makes sense? So it happened, yes. He purified our souls, and he continues to purify our souls through Jesus. Because Philippians 1:6 is true, right? He who began this good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So he's calling them to love one another, but they haven't arrived yet. What I want you to get about this is this church, these people that Peter's writing to, they haven't arrived. They don't have it all together. They don't have it all figured out. They have been purified by Jesus, and they are being purified by Jesus. That's every one of us. And when we realize that, and we realize none of us have arrived, and all of us have things that we struggle with, and we need to grow in, then there's going to be a lot in this passage, I think, that's going to help us follow Jesus better, okay? So, since their hearts have been purified and are being purified, he says to them to command, love one another. Have you purified your souls by the obedience of truth for a sincere brotherly love? Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. When we think about love, okay? Love is one of those words that I think we throw around a lot because we say, like, I love you and I love hamburgers and I love God, right? It's like, which one is it? Because love is this all-encompassing word that we talk about a lot of different things in. And so when we think about love, I want us to think biblically about love. And we think about loving one another, we got to realize this, that we both feel love and we resolve to love. So is love a feeling? Some days. It's also a commitment, right? Like I do feel love and I resolve to love even when loving is difficult. That I'm going to love even when I've been stuck in the house with my kids in quarantine for 973 straight days, or however long, it's how long it felt, right? I'm going to love my spouse even though they're terrible today. That's what Jenny has to do sometimes. Because love is a feeling. I feel love, and I resolve to love. If the only time we love is when we feel like loving, that's not love, right? We resolve to love. And that's what Peter's going to encourage them in here today. And again, I mean, we live in this world where movies and music and everything, like we think about love as something that just kind of oozes. And yeah, I mean, I know the love at first sight feeling. I remember the first time I saw Jenny, okay? I mean, I do. I was like, I know it, man. I get it. I get the feeling of love, and it's real, and it's powerful, and it's emotional, and it's good. I don't want to discredit that. And if that's all you ever have, you don't have a whole lot. Because love, not just with your spouse, but with others, really, is what he's talking about. Not even talking about spouses, he's talking about brotherly love. It's something we resolve to do. I commit to this. I'm going to love, even though I may not always feel love. Love one another. Okay, he gives them three words about how to love one another. First off, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. So first, we love sincerely, for a sincere brotherly love. We talk about sincerely, we mean that we're doing this without hypocrisy, without the desire for personal gain, and without the manipulation of others. That I'm going to love one another sincerely in that I don't expect anything in return from you. So my love is not going to be transactional. I'm not loving you so that you will love me. I'm not giving to you so you will give back to me. I'm just loving you. Not transactional, not for the manipulation of others, not for your own gain, but just to love. Philippians 2 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So we love sincerely. Secondly, we love earnestly. Right? He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly. from a pure heart. Earnestly, meaning it's motivating, it's zealous, it's self-starting, it implies effort, right? If I'm going to do something in earnest, it requires effort. It doesn't just happen. I got to choose to love. I got to resolve to love. There's earnestness in loving one another. That's something I have to pursue, right? Romans 12 says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So we love sincerely, we love earnestly, and lastly, we love with a pure heart, meaning that we love unconditionally or sacrificially. Again, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Right? Jesus says in Matthew 22, they ask him, say, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Okay, so love one another. That's the command. Love one another. How or why, right? Why should we love one another this way? Not just because we're supposed to, but why? He gives them a why here. He says, having purified your souls by the obedience of the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart since you have been born again. Not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable. Through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the good news that I preach to you. Okay, so these three whys. Why should we love one another this way? First, because our souls have been purified by the truth. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere and brotherly love, love one another, right? Our souls have been purified, so we should love one another. Secondly, we have been born again. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable one. So we should love this way because we've been purified by the truth, we've been born again, and then finally, because of the work of God's word in our lives. This is the work that God's word produces in us. God's word causes us to love. Because of the work that God's word is producing in us, we should love one another. And so I think the thing is, like, if we don't find a lot of love in our hearts for our brothers or for others, it should cause us to go, okay, I need to be more purified by the truth, right? I need to be more transformed by the truth of these things. I need to understand this good news of the gospel that I've been born again. These are things that should help me to do this because all human life is fleeting, but the word of God remains forever. So I want to love one another with a sincere love, with sincerity, with earnestly, with pure heart, because of what God has done. He's purified me in the truth. I've been born again, and this is the kind of work that his word produces in my life, okay? And then he gets to chapter 2, verse 1. So, okay, since that's the case, right? Since we should love one another earnestly, we should love one another sincerely, since we should love with a pure heart, and since God's word is accomplishing these things in us, so, since that's the case, here's what you need to do. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Pretty good verse for our social media world we live in right now, isn't it? He says, put it away. Put away deceit. Put away malice. Put away slander, put away hypocrisy, put away envy. And like newborn infants, here's the command, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Command, long for pure spiritual milk. And he says in verse 1, though, okay, he says, so, put away all malice. The word put away there literally means to take it off. Right? Not shake it off, take it off. So imagine deceit or being deceitful or being envious or being malicious or being a slanderer or being a hypocrite. If you would imagine that it was a bathrobe, okay? If you imagine that it's a bathrobe that you're wearing, you just, he says, take it off. Right? Don't do this anymore. Take this off and put it away. Don't be malicious. Don't be a slanderer. Don't be envious. Don't be a hypocrite. Instead, love one another. Love one another. And I would remind you, like, if you read those things, when I read those things, I'm like, I can be that, right? Like, I can be deceitful. I can be slanderous. I can be envious. I can be a hypocrite. I can be malicious sometimes. Like, when you read those things, don't read them and be like, no, I don't struggle with any of that. Yes, you do. Like, the point is, yes, you do. We all struggle with these things. And I think the encouraging thing in some ways is this church struggled with it too. Otherwise, Peter wouldn't have addressed it. He's addressing real issues. But he says, this is not brotherly love, though. Like, if you're going to love one another because of the work that God is doing in you, here's what you got to take this stuff off, man. This isn't what you need to look like. You don't need to wear these things. Malice, which is the intention or desire to do evil or ill will. Deceit, it's concealing or misrepresenting the truth. Hypocrisy, the practice of claiming to have moral standards of belief to which one's own behavior does not conform. Ding, right? Envy, the resentful longing for what someone else has. And slander, making a false statement damaging a person's reputation. And what Peter is encouraging them to do here is to take it off. This isn't who you are anymore in Christ, right? This isn't who you are. And since this isn't who you are, don't be this way. Again, this isn't talking about some kind of works-based righteousness where we do these things and now God isn't mad at me anymore. What Peter is saying to them is, this isn't who you are. You're not a slanderer. You're not deceitful. You're not a hypocrite. You're not envious. You're not malicious. So stop being those things. Since that's not who you are, stop doing that. It's an encouraging thing for us. Take it off. Doriani says this again. He says, since the church is full of sinners, it's also full of deceivers, hypocrites, slanderers. People say one thing and the opposite and act baffled as if when someone points this out. For some people, words are tools they deploy to fulfill their goals or desires. For them, the truth, hear this, is any statement that gets them what they want. And a lie is any statement that keeps them from getting what they want. As we believers put off deceit, hypocrisy, and slander, we tell the truth more and more consistently. We don't simply tell the truth, we speak the truth in love. We edify and we strive to give grace to all who hear. And if we must tell painful truths, we do so gently. If we must bring bad news, we take care not to wound or degrade anyone. If we tell a cheering truth, we shun boasting and flattery. We want to take these things off, and we want to long for pure spiritual milk. How do we take these things off? I think how we do it is we do what he says to do here, is we desire or long for the pure spiritual milk that will help us grow up spiritually. Long for it. Desire it. Okay? Long for this pure spiritual milk that will help us grow in our salvation. To grow up as a Christian. To grow up as a follower of Jesus. Not to make us right before God, but to mature in our following Him. Here's the thing. You and I, we will not grow in maturity as a follower of Jesus Christ without a consistent diet of God's Word. All right, now this is not a shaming you thing, okay? But I do want you to get this. He says here to long for pure spiritual milk that would grow us up in our salvation if we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So we need pure spiritual milk to grow in that. The Word of God has got to continually dwell in our heart so that it will produce its desired result. It has to do that. Like an infant, the wrong diet will malnourish us, okay? We caught my mom giving Hannah diet Dr. Pepper in her bottle one time, okay? We were like, Mom, you can't do that. And she was like, it's fine, okay? Please don't do that, okay? Don't do that to your grandkids. That's not a great move, okay? I wish she was here right now to give them some, though. I'd let her do it right now. But anyway, it was funny. She's like, what is she? is she drinking a Coke, you know, in a bottle? Yes, she was. So we want to make sure we give kids the right thing. We don't want to be malnourished, okay? We all understand that. We understand kids need a healthy diet, otherwise they'll be malnourished. You ask yourself that question. So look at your spiritual diet. What are you feasting on? Like when you look at your life, when you evaluate what's going in, okay? What's going into your mind? What's going into your heart? What's going into your eyes? What are you dieting on? I doubt very seriously there's a lot of nourishing fruit of the Word of God in your news feed, right? Not, there isn't in mine. So what are you nourishing yourself with? What's your diet? If it doesn't consist of God's Word, then you're not going to grow spiritually the way the Lord has for you to grow. And that's not, we understand that, right? Like we can all understand that. If I am not consistently feasting on, or at least feeding on, the Word of God, then I'm not going to grow up in the way that God would have me to grow. And so how do I fix that? I got to change my diet. And until it is continually dwelling in our heart, I will tell you this, God's Word is not going to produce its desired result in us, right? Until I have a diet that consists of continually dwelling on the things of God, then it's not going to produce its desired results. And I say its desired result, not your desired result. So many times we come to the Bible and we think, if I do this, then it's going to get me this. You know, if I pray this Old Testament prayer, I'm going to get richer. So dumb, all right? It's like we're trying to conform the Bible into what we want it to accomplish. Our desire, wrong. God's desire. Like, when I come to the Bible and read it, and it reads me, it accomplishes God's desire, not my desire. And can I tell you why that's good news for us? Because of Isaiah 55, okay? We're going to read the whole chapter because I hadn't been here in a while. Hear the good news here, though. He says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which isn't bread, or labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will freely or abundantly pardon. And then he says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be when it goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the very thing for which I sent it out. You know, think about this. I'll stop there for a second. Every single time you sit on your patio or wherever you sit and read the Bible, if you read it, okay? I don't care if you're on your phone or you have a physical copy of God's Word. Every time you read God's Word, God has a purpose in it. Every single time. There's never, look, and I know you would never say this about my preaching, but like if you have ever sat in a service where God's Word was preached and you said, I didn't get anything out of that, that's on you, right? Because when God's Word goes forth, it has purpose. The question is, do I have the ears to hear it? God, every single time God's Word goes forth, it has a purpose, and God is wanting to accomplish something in it. And again, it doesn't matter if you're listening to a 50-minute sermon or a 5-minute devotional just on your back porch, right? Every single time I come to this book, I can be confident that God is wanting to teach me something about himself. every single time. For you shall go forth in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, there will come up a cypress. Instead of the briar, there shall be a myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay? This is why I want God's purposes to be fulfilled in my life and not my purposes. You know why? Because His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. By higher, think better. Not higher like, oh yeah, He's way up there. No, better. Like, why do I want to submit myself to God's desires for me and not my own desires? Because He knows what's best. And He always does what's best. Even if I can't see it, even if I can't understand it, He always does what's best. And that's why when I come to God's word, I want Him to fulfill His desires in me, not my desires. And here's the thing I would leave you with. And again, this is not meant to be shaming, just the truth. The key here in this command is to long. Long for pure spiritual milk. The action is to long or to desire. All of us have God's word. You have more access to God's word in this generation than any generation that has ever existed. We have unbelievable access to God's word. What we don't have is the desire, right? It's not for lack of resources. It's almost all lack of effort. And my encouragement to you and to me is to ask the Spirit of God to give us the desire to know God through His word. I want to know God through His word. And here's why. Because all men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And as I grow up into that salvation that God has provided for me in Christ Jesus, as I grow up into that through my longing for the pure spiritual milk, you know what God's going to do? He's going to help me set my hope in the grace of God. He's going to help me be holy. He's going to help me fear God. He's going to help me love one another. That's why I need God to do that in me. So God, give me the desire to know You through Your word. I have access, right? We have access on our phones and everywhere, right? Everywhere to gospel-centered, biblical truth. What we miss is the desire. And pray that God would help give us that desire so that we would grow in our knowledge of Him. And as we grow in our knowledge of Him, we will grow in our love for Him. Would you join me as we pray together? God, thank You for Your word. And we need Your help this morning to love one another correctly, earnestly, sincerely, with a pure heart. We need Your help this morning to take these things off, deceit, malice, slander, envy, hypocrisy. God, would You help us to do that? And would You give us a desire, a bigger, stronger desire for the spiritual nourishment that we need in our souls from Your word. We can't work that up in ourselves. I can't make that happen. We need Your Spirit to help us. And God, as Your Spirit does that, because He will, may we be disciplined to come to You, to trust You, and to long for You. Lord, I pray You would grow these things in us. Help us to have a sincere brotherly love. Help us to put off these things that are sinful, that lead us away from them, and help us to long for You.